Good morning. This is James Stevenson with the World News Roundup. And this morning, following my report from the newsroom in New York, we expect to hear from NBC observers in London and Washington, and a special broadcast from W.W. Chaplin, who is aboard the giant airliner Constellation, which is on its inaugural breakfast-to-dinner flight from New York to the West Coast. But first, here's a summary of the day's important news headlines. At Washington, a determined Republican bid is reported today to attempt to break the Senate filibuster over the Fair Employment Bill, which is holding up Senate consideration of vital national problems. At the same time, the Veterans Administration is under new attack, and President Truman is reported ready for a showdown with the steel industry in an attempt to end the strike, which threatens the entire reconversion program. At London, the United Nations Security Council today is scheduled to tackle its first case involving two of the big three nations, with Russia presenting charges that Britain is threatening peace in Greece. New trouble is seen in Chile following a government refusal to accede to radical party demands that the cabinet be changed to include leftist members. And at Elk Mountain, Wyoming, search parties are fighting through deep snow in an attempt to reach the peak, where a commercial transport plane was reported to have crashed with 21 persons aboard. Those are today's major news headlines. And in a moment, I'll call in NBC observers for their first-hand account.
More new families are being established today than ever before in the history of our country. And yet, just at the period when our need for housing is at its peak, we find ourselves faced with an unparalleled housing shortage. Unfortunately, the people who are hit hardest by this shortage are the returning veterans who had given up their homes to fight for their country. Until this housing shortage is eased, and it may be several years before that can be fully accomplished, we must give first consideration to homeless veterans. There is one specific way you can help. If you have a place to rent or sell, give the returning veteran first chance at it. He has earned that right. And again, here is James Stevenson.
The third day of negotiations between General Motors and the Auto Workers Union is scheduled at Detroit today with a wage issue out of the discussions temporarily. Instead, other important problems are on the agenda when the meeting gets underway at 2 o'clock this afternoon Eastern Standard Time. Federal mediator James F. Dewey said that yesterday's meeting was harmonious, and both sides have agreed to sidestep the wage problem until other contractual issues have been settled. He described yesterday's session as very pleasant, unusually so. Despite Dewey's optimism, there were some disquieting signs. R.J. Thomas, the union president, withdrew from the negotiations and said he would stay out until there is some indication that General Motors wants to settle the strike. At Pittsburgh, a Common Pleas judge today will hand down an important decision in the injunction suit of the Carnegie, Illinois Steel Corporation, which is asking the court to limit the number of pickets the steel workers may use at its Homestead, Pennsylvania works. The steel company instituted suit after a local steelworkers union ordered strikers to bar supervisory and maintenance workers from the plant. The steel company charged that shoulder-to-shoulder picketing, such as has been ordered, prevents entrance of maintenance men necessary to prevent damage to the plant. The company wants pickets limited to no more than 10 at any gate. At Elk Mountain, Wyoming, two search parties are out this morning trying to get through the deep snow to the peak of the mountain where a United Airlines transport plane was reported to have crashed with 21 persons aboard. One rescue group was forced to turn back last night after fighting its way to within 300 yards of the mountain peak. They said they had found no trace of the wreckage. At London today, fireworks are expected in the UNO as the Security Council tackles the delicate Greek situation. Our NBC observer is on the scene, and here is his direct report as we switch now to NBC in London.
This is Ed Hawker in London. The delegates to the United Nations Assembly today move into their busiest weekend since the session got underway on January 10th. Two plenary sessions of the Assembly are on the schedule for this evening. The first at 5:45 to accept the nomination of the Norwegian Foreign Minister Trygve Lie as Secretary General. Lee rehearsed the routine of accepting this morning, although there is some talk that South American delegates might oppose his nomination, in which case the Assembly would go into secret session. Whatever the situation, the first meeting tonight should be brief because the Russians are having a big reception replete with case upon case of caviar. Tonight we should also have more on the controversial subject of whether the World Federation of Trade Unions should be invited to attend the assembly in an advisory capacity. But the lion's share of attention today is going to the meeting of the Security Council, which sits down at 3 o'clock this afternoon in just 2 hours' time. Mr. Vyshinsky, the chief Russian delegate at that time, will present the Russian case against British forces in Greece. Many delegates are calling this the second round, the first being the Iranian case against Russia. Following Vyshinsky, Mr. Bevan will make a reply, and unquestionably, Mr. Bevan's words will hardly lack vigor, but it's generally thought that an open clash will be averted, and the matter quickly smoothed over, with Vyshinsky taking something of a conciliatory attitude. The Greek delegation might also present its views to the council, putting forth the angle that the Soviet complaint comes within Greece's domestic jurisdiction, and that thus UNO is not competent to intervene. An estimate on UNO's running expenses for the year is also published today. $25 million American dollars, a pretty low price to pay for continued peace. More on the Arab case is being heard today at the Anglo-American inquiry into Palestine. One Arab said the Arabs are prepared to live with the Jews who are already in Palestine in brotherhood. It is better, he said, to keep Palestine as their spiritual home, where Jews could visit freely from all over the world, than to make it their political home. And here's a late item. Don Juan, the Spanish pretender, arrived in London today from Geneva. He'll take off again tomorrow, Lisbon-bound and possibly throne-bound. This is Ed Hawker in London, switching you to NBC in Washington.
This is Leif Eid in Washington. And this morning, near the fag end of a week whose dawn was bright with hope, President Truman's labor experts are weary and baffled. They thought they had the bull by the tail on a downhill drag. Now they find it's a bear they have by the tail, and a bear full of fight, too. Chances for an early settlement of the General Motors affair have gone glimmering. U.S. Steel, instead of tamely accepting the government's price boost offer of a little over $4 a ton, is now asking much more than $6.25 a ton. And even though the president told us yesterday he thinks the labor situation is improving all the time, it's fairly clear that his labor advisors don't have the situation in hand. They're supposed to be working now on some new plan for the settlement in steel, and there's some hint of showdown with Benjamin Fairless and the bosses of U.S. Steel. But there's no hint right now what the plan is. The president told us that he has no immediate plans for seizing the steel industry. And up on the Hill, the Republican Southern Democrat coalition clearly has the administration forces in retreat. The way the case bill, which is fitted out with double rows of teeth for biting labor unions, particularly CIO, the way this case bill shortcutted the Labor Committee, zipped through the Rules Committee, and was substituted for the watered-down fact-finding bill on the House floor, still has Washington observers gasping. The real authors of this bill, according to insiders here, include at least two Southern Democrats. Representative Case admits he had help in writing the bill. Administration leaders concede defeat on the House floor and pin their hopes on the Senate. And this morning, even some Republicans think the bill goes too far in clamping restrictions on labor. They're talking about amendments to soften the bill, particularly the part about penalties on unions which use the boycott as a strike weapon. Otherwise this morning, the Capitol's wondering what other secret agreements President Roosevelt made at Yalta, beside the newly revealed one of backing Russian claims to the Kurils. President Truman says they'll all be made public. And this morning, Secretary of Interior Harold Ickes testifies before a Senate committee on Ed Pawley's nomination as Undersecretary of the Navy. Look for some rousing battle over Pawley's nomination. I return you now to the NBC newsroom in New York.
NBC's W.W. Chaplin is a passenger aboard the Constellation, that great new commercial airship which this morning inaugurated the nation's first coast-to-coast, breakfast-to-dinner air travel. The plane left LaGuardia Field, New York, shortly after 6 o'clock this morning Eastern Standard Time and is now well on its way roaring across the continent. And at this time, we switch to W.W. Chaplin aboard the Constellation.
This is W.W. Chaplin aboard the TWA Constellation, flying from New York to Los Angeles and San Francisco. This flight is a preview of the 5-mile-a-minute flying that you can be doing before this month is out, cross country or across the ocean. We took off this morning from New York's LaGuardia Field at 6:42 Eastern Time. We weigh just about 45 tons, but we lifted gently into the air after a run of just 15 seconds. It was still gray dawn on the ground, but in 10 minutes we were above the clouds and in the full light of sunrise. An hour and a half ago, we were on the ground in New York. We climbed fast and leveled off at 8,000 feet. That's our altitude now, and the skipper tells me that our present speed is 280 miles an hour. These 50 passenger planes, now about to crowd our airline, can do better than that, and I suppose we will before the day is done and California is reached. One very fine thing about these new giants of the air, and that's their pressurized cabin. We're roaring west at 8,000 feet, but the pressure in the cabin is ground-level pressure. We could go up to 40,000 feet and still regulate the cabin pressure to our comfort. No oxygen necessary. None of that sometimes painful feeling in the ears as the plane goes up or down. I've been flying in airplanes, military and commercial, ever since I made the first plane train crossing of the country 17 years ago. That took 2 days in a trimotored Ford and 2 nights on a train. 48 hours to make the same journey that we expect to cover today in little more than 10 flying hours. There also was little comfort in those lumbering, noisy, tin geeks, as the Ford trimotors were called. Air comfort has steadily increased in them, as speed has. But as these Constellations are the fastest transport so far, also, they're the first that I would call truly luxurious for comfort. Kansas City is our first and only stop on the way to the West Coast. Right now, the pilot says, Pittsburgh has the lowest. I wouldn't know. All I can see is a mass of sun-pink clouds, and the world has disappeared. This is W.W. Chaplin on the Constellation, returning you to the NBC newsroom in New York.
And again, this is James Stevenson in New York. Carl Corder, our NBC monitor, has handed me this announcement. He just heard over the British Broadcasting Company radio signal. Field Marshal Montgomery has been named Chief of the Imperial General Staff, the highest army post in the British Empire. Your World News Roundup today has brought you Ed Hocker in London, Leif Eade in Washington, and W.W. Chaplin aboard the coast-to-coast airship Constellation. And now, your announcer has this to say.
Sorry, I'll have to give you your change in $1,000 bills. I'm out of the larger denominations. Probably that sounds ridiculous to you now, but the time may come when that will be an everyday occurrence. That is the ultimate outcome of a wild inflation. Such an inflation is a distinct possibility in this country if the people, and that means every one of us, decide that it just won't happen or that nothing that we could do individually could prevent it happening. The truth is that something can be done by all of us, and if we all do not cooperate, we face a future of economic chaos. To avoid this, all of us must resolve to buy sensibly, to pay no more than ceiling prices for the things we do buy, and to invest every dollar we can spare in government savings bonds. Remember, the black market is our common enemy. Don't patronize it. Report all violations of price ceiling or rationing controls. The fight against inflation is a deadly, serious fight. Now back to James Stevenson in the NBC newsroom in New York.
At Chungking today, Generalissimo Chiang Kai-shek hailed the agreement reached at the political consultation conference as the emergence of China's millions from civil strife into a day of full freedom for all political parties, and as possibly an end to his leadership. Chung said that from now on, the heavy task of rebuilding the nation rests not alone on the Kuomintang, and much less on him as an individual. And he added, whether in the government or out of it, he would sincerely work for peace and solidarity. A Sydney dispatch reports that T. Doherty, General Secretary of the Australian Workers' Union, claims that the world's richest uranium deposits have been found in southeastern Queensland. Doherty refused to give the source of his information, but said the uranium deposits were found near the small town of Stanthorpe, and the samples sent to Britain yielded up 3% uranium. And that's the World News Roundup for this morning of February 1st. This is James Stevenson in the NBC Newsroom in New York, and I'll be seeing you tomorrow morning.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.